This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
And here are Spartan Dogs Todd Duckett, Tim Bogracus, and Andre Hudson.
Welcome to the Spartan Dog Podcast. Tim Bogracus.
Todd Duckett.
Andre Hudson.
And we have had some unbelievable guests over the past couple months join us. And we thought this would be a good chance to kind of recap some of those conversations, some of the lessons, and just some overall good feelings we got from some of these guys. So let's jump right into it.
Yeah, it's been a phenomenal time. A lot of them, some former teammates, older, younger, some people in the community. It's been interesting to see the journey that people have been on. And that's where what this whole thing started was talking about how we handled success and how we handled adversity. And every single person we've talked to had some type of adversity that they had in their life after experiencing great success or after finding some whatever, lost something. Every person experienced that. And that to me, it shows that when you're even in, you think, a boat by yourself, it's a wide sea of other people rowing alone.
Yeah, I agree, man. We had a good group of guys on here, and I think before we get into talking about that, we should talk a little bit about the camp that we're going to be putting on again with Snap Fitness. September 8th is the starting date, but it will run for 8 weeks, and you can sign up during the session, throughout the session. So if you guys get this message late, I think you can still probably sign up at the end of September and get a couple sessions in there. But we're also tying in the Spartan Dogs our first annual symposium that's going to talk about athletic excellence 24/7. That's going to be the title of this symposium. And we want to get the word out there to all you listeners out there. This is going to be something it's going to be pretty powerful. We plan on bringing in a panel of MSU coaches. We'll have nutrition and performance specialists, a panel of nutrition and performance specialists. We'll have us, the Spartan Dogs, up there to touch on key points on what it takes to be excellent in athletics. And we're going to have Mr. Mateen Cleese, one of our better guests on our show this season, to be the keynote and kind of tell you about his journey, you know, what it took for him to get to where he was on his athletic career, his path, and hopefully it'll bring a lot of knowledge and information to the young athletes out here in the Lansing area.
Yeah, and that's going to be September 28th. Here at on MSU's campus. We're still setting the date. I mean, the time. It looks like it's going to be 9 to 12, though.
Yeah.
And it'll be in the radiology building. And you'll be able to – more information will be at snap.msu.edu. But this is going to be the first time we try something like this. And we're looking forward to getting all these great, knowledgeable people into one place for a morning session with these young athletes from around the area. And I think Mateen's the perfect guy to keynote this thing, you know, especially after hearing him join us on the podcast and some of the insight that he's shared throughout his journey so far.
Yeah, and I heard something yesterday about the word excellence, which is it's a beautiful thing that the person described it. I don't remember the person's name, so I can't give them their own shout out, but they define the word excellence as seeing something through completion. That's what the word meant to them. It's excellence means seeing it all the way through to completion. So for this camp, speaking or the symposium, as an athlete, whether that's a young kid having a dream of another level of success, whether it's the start of a season and trying to end the season strong, or it's a start of a game and trying to finish the game and really being that excellent performer, being that excellent teammate, that excellent team, it's seeing something through completion. And the information you get from the SNAP, the Joes that'll be there, the SNAP guys, the information you get from the coaches, the MSU coaches, and the information you get from Mateen, all those things will be tools for you to be excellent, to take it from that meeting, from that day. And how are you going to work that into your daily? How are you going to work that into your training? And the big thing that we always talk about is sports. And you, when we get in and start talking about some of the other podcasts, sports, it's great for competition and the game, the glory, all of the above. But it's also a tool to help build life. It's a tool that everyone from all three of us to the people who we had on our shows, they use those tools today, the work ethic, the discipline, the how to compete. They use all those things today. So that symposium, it's not just to help a better athlete, but maybe you don't play sports and you want a sports point of view of how to attack your day or how to do something. That's another way to look at it as well.
Yeah, and I think sorry to cut you off there, Dre.
Go ahead.
You know, with the one thing that resonated with what Mateen said when he joined us was when he was explaining to, I think, one of his family members that, you can't have a junior college work ethic and expect Division I results.
Yeah, he said that about his son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that point right there just kind of drives it home. And I agree with the definition of excellence you gave. I think, you know, nowadays it's very easy. Everybody starts a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a lot of starting.
A lot of dreaming.
And very few completion.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a perfect definition of excellence.
And even
going
that,
forward.
And even with that, it depends on what you do. I mean, what you as an individual, whatever that word is, what you as an individual.
You by yourself.
What you deem as your own success.
Yeah.
That's how you create your own excellence. And that, I'm telling you, when I heard that yesterday, it just, a light bulb went off. Again, I mean, we're always defining ourselves, who we are. Your excellence, what you do, what task are you trying to do? Is it to keep your shoes on all day? I mean, what it could be that simple, but really, what is it?
Yeah, for the listeners out there, you got to understand, this is the time of the year. It's a new year. It's a new school year, so there's a lot of excitement in the air. The kids are excited to get back to school. The athletes are looking forward to a new season, a new beginning. And I think what we're trying to provide here is a great start to a new beginning for all athletes. I mean, to come out here and partake in this camp that we're going to be doing, I mean, we're going to be increasing kids' speeds. We're going to be increasing kids' lateral movements, jumping. I mean, things that are really going to play a big advantage to them once their season hits. And also to throw into that symposium, we're also going to be doing some testing, but I don't know if we're going to be.
We haven't confirmed
that
yet.
Okay. Well,
we haven't confirmed that yet.
But we also, as a group, we have those capabilities, and that's something we will be offering if we don't have that at this symposium. But
you can find out about it at the camp, too.
Yeah, at the camp.
That's a great way to camp on Sundays.
Yeah, we do a lot of combine testing. So for those guys who are looking to get numbers on vertical jumps, on 40 tests, you know, and see where they compare to averages, to national averages. I mean, it's a good opportunity to come out there and get those numbers and see, and just see where you stand, see where you are in life.
And this information is also on our Facebook page, Spartan Dogs Podcast, where you can get information about the camps. You can get information about the symposiums, and you can get information about our podcast. You can listen to them all there, and you can listen to them at SpartanPodcast.com. So speaking on our podcast, we've had, I don't know, 6-7 different guys come in and talk. And
one consistent thing with those guys was the work ethic. You know, a lot of guys talked about, you know, where their journey. We all had different paths, you know, from Little John, you know, growing up playing ball with you, you know, playing MSU, playing professional, now leading a group of employees at Walmart. Now it was a crazy journey for him.
Yeah.
And I think it was something that was interesting. He talked about something that you had mentioned to him about the books and the ball.
Yeah.
And I thought that really stood out to me about, you know, I think kids need to understand they can't just focus on the ball. As important as it is in an athlete to, you know, do what you can on the field and on the court so you can get to college. The main goal is getting to college. I mean, because that's what's going to last. He gave an example. You know, you bring up a kid and you have one standing on the ball and you want have one standing on the books. Well, the one standing on the ball is going to get wobbly.
Yeah.
And after a while, he's going to fall.
Yeah.
You know, you can only carry the ball for so long before you fall. But he said the guy standing on that books is going to stand there and he's going to stand strong. And you can stand there forever if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I thought that was a great point that, you know, kids need to understand. It's important to give it your all in athletics, but that goal is to get to college.
Yeah.
Because once you can get that degree, Now you can go on to play professional. You can make your money, but when that's over with, you got something to fall back on, and that's those books.
I love that example. Yeah. I mean, you think about it. A ball, round, wobbly, full of air.
Yeah.
Eventually, something's going to happen.
It's going to fizzle out.
Something is going to happen eventually, and the books, I mean, it's substance, it's character, it's integrity. It's so much in there that is what you build over life. And you can only play basketball for so long. You can only play football for so long.
Yeah.
Some people don't even have the skills. Some people don't even have the ability. They're born without the ability to walk. How do they? But yet they can still stand on those books.
Right.
I mean, stuff like that, it really takes the game and pushes it further. And I think with Little John, that's a great example of that. And all the people that we've talked to, we've known for a long time.
Yeah.
And how beautiful is it that these things, this is who they were when they were playing. I mean, they have not changed.
No.
I mean, this is when they were 18 years old, came into Michigan State, all from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
This is now they're 28, 29, 30, whatever. And this is still the same ways that they live by.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you're not going to – sports is going to expose who you are as a person. If you buckle under pressure in everyday life, it's going to happen in sports if you're playing at a high level. So this was just a way to magnify the type of people that these guys were on and off the playing field. If none of them played a sport in college, they'd still be doing the same things, and they'd all be successful.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Because the lessons were driven into them early, and they were built upon in college.
That's a good point too, because the lessons that they were that they had in them, they weren't even Spartans yet. I mean, they weren't. So that being the case, can we have the argument that you have the tools you need early, but do you recognize them? I mean, everybody, at least I can't say everybody. When I was a kid, my whole neighborhood played rocket football.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, the whole kids. As you got older, some kid did this, some kid did that.
Right.
And it kind of, people bounced off.
Right.
But we talked about, in one of our podcasts earlier, we talked about the importance that rocket football coaches, that youth coaches have.
Right.
So the tools are still there.
Yeah.
They're still present.
Well, that's the beauty of sports. I mean, sports can bring those tools out of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the beauty of athletics and playing in any team sport, even individual sports. You find different characters and traits within yourself. And if you have the right people to push you and push you in the right way, you tend to those traits tend to come out of you a lot earlier, and they provide you more success, I think, in the future.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do, you know, I'd argue it doesn't necessarily have to be a sport situation. Mm-hmm. I just think it's an adverse situation. I think adversity really shows, and it develops you, it kind of molds you as who you're going to be. And it's not so much, I mean, it doesn't have to happen on a court or a field. Some people, it could happen on a debate team, or it could happen in a you know, studying for your med school test.
There you go.
But I think you have to have an adverse situation to go through to really expose who you're going to be in that kind of situation.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Timbo.
Okay.
Timbo Grackus.
This is MSU Today with Russ White on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're listening to Spartan Dogs Todd Duckett, Timbo Grackus, and Andre Hudson.
You're speaking on adversity.
Yeah.
How does a non-athlete or a person who doesn't experience sports, what are some examples of what adversity could be for them, and how can they recognize that? Because like you said, it does build adversity does build things for you.
Yeah.
But on a playing field, you might look at a linebacker and be like, he's 300 pounds, I got to hit him.
Yeah.
You can see your adversity.
Yeah.
How can someone, is there a way? I mean, you mentioned something before, but is there a way that a non-athlete can recognize what that is? Is there a definition for adversity that, I mean, other than Webster?
I think, like, I heard a good example today, and then I'll answer your question. So, like, if you picture yourself as a train going on a track and you're heading towards a wall, overcoming adversity kind of pushes the wall back a little farther. So it allows you to keep going.
Yeah.
So like it could be it could be anything. It could be failing a test.
Perfect.
It could be getting fired. It could not be getting into the sorority, the fraternity you want to get into. It could be breaking up with a loved one. It could be getting your car towed from campus, which happens every day. I mean, I think adversity lives around all of us. It just depends on how you're going to react to it. And, you know, for us, sports at Michigan State just put us in adverse situations every single day that we had to deal with.
Yeah. You know, on that, I'm going to say adversity sounds like when things don't go your way.
Yeah.
You know, when things aren't that in your plan.
That might be the definition.
Because I think, you know, if you believe you create your life, if you believe you have a path, if you believe you have a goal, as you're pushing towards that goal, you're going to say you wanted to be the GM of a corporation, whatever, or a company. If something happens and that brings you two steps back from that goal, hold on, that's an adverse situation.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's okay. So it's adversity can be whatever deteriorates you from your goal or steers you away. So that being said, in order to have adversity, you have to have a goal.
Yeah.
You have to have a purpose, a plan.
You got to be a little driven.
You have to have something to do.
Right. Well, I think, and I get a lot of questions from parents kind of regarding this, kind of on that topic. But a lot of parents are saying, what can I do to push my kid harder? My kid doesn't want to go out and work. He doesn't want to work.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to play. He wants all the success, but he doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to go through that adversity. You know, he wants to have it easy. And I think one thing that Mateen touched on, he said that, you know, kids don't compete at an early enough age. And I think Tim asked him a question like, what can we do to get these kids to compete early? He gave examples that, you know, at the age of 6 or 7, you know, he was playing for playing time. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was like a 6 to 7 man rotation, where now, you know, you got teams of 12 kids and everybody gets 5 minutes. You know, everybody's playing. There's no competition. And he said it was a lot different when we were coming up. And he also said that, you know, that they don't have the same coaches and leaders and motivators that he had per se coming up, and a lot of us had coming up, where it's just a lot of individuals going out, kind of reliving their dreams, you know, through the kids, or they're kind of following regulations, but they're not pushing the kids that can be pushed, you know. And I think it's having an effect on a lot of these kids who are playing in these leagues where, you know, you got 10 kids on the team, everybody has to play. Well, where's the competition within that team? I mean, you're competing as a team, but you're not allowing those kids to really separate themselves as leaders, as, you know, communicators. You know, that's something that kids are able to develop at an early age, but unless we allow them to do that, you know, we're kind of holding them back.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, there's a thought that you never want to see your kid fail at anything. I mean, if your child falls down and hurts his knee, it sucks as a parent.
Right.
But, you know, you can't go over there and pick them up every single time. And we were fortunate enough to get put in situations where we fell, we cried, and we got up. And then it happens, and you realize you're okay. Yeah. It's almost like the fear of getting punched in the face is worse than being punched in the face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't recommend getting punched in the face, but, I mean, it's that you build that. You generate the fear in your own self of saying, this is gonna be the worst thing ever. But, you know,
right.
And it's never as bad as the actual act.
Right.
We just don't allow people to do it anymore.
Yeah. Yes. You're listening to Spartan Dogs Podcast Radio. You can hear our podcasts on SpartanPodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook, Spartan Dogs Podcast, and we're recapping our shows throughout our season.
Download us on iTunes, Spartan Podcast, all one word.
But, yeah, that everyone competing is – it takes away from, I don't want to say it takes away from the win, but at the same time, if everybody's competing as a coach, do you care about winning or do you care about everyone playing? I mean, I think that you have to almost be some type of orchestrator to be a good coach.
I would say on most levels, I think the number one thing for coaches is to compete.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you hear it all the time. We heard it all the time from Coach Izzo. You know, even though deep down inside, you know they want to win.
You want to win. Everyone plays a game, but you want to win too.
But if you lose and it looks like you didn't compete, that, I mean, it's like a double whammy. You know what I mean? And it's.
But like what you said about Mateen, those 6-7 guy rotations, man, those were your biggest competitors. Yeah. They were the ones that stepped up to the plate in practice.
Right.
They're the ones that wanted to compete.
Absolutely.
So how do you reward someone who is taking days off and saying, okay, now your turn to go and compete?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, those kids who aren't in that rotation have the chance to see the kids who are in rotation, and they see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they see how they're working.
And they have a choice to make.
And they have a choice to make.
I think one of the things that Little John really touched on is how hard, looking back, how hard is it for him? He's at the same university as you, who is his best friend, but also who is a mega recruit and player for a team. And he was, and for him to strap his helmet on every day and still go out there knowing I might not get the reps that I really want, or I might even deserve these reps, but I'm still going to give everything I had. And he still he translated that into a pro career.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is as impressive of a feat of
without a doubt.
Out there, I don't even know if I'm going to get these reps, and I have the biggest recruit we might have ever had in my time.
Right.
Right here with me, who happens to be my best friend, so I can't be mad at him.
Yeah.
But I gotta go against him hard every day.
I mean that comes into the competing
adversity.
The adversity, the character. Because that, I mean, across the board, that just because we were friends, that was an added element.
Yeah.
But there's only 11 people on the football field.
Yeah.
And there's 85 scholarships.
A lot of you guys.
So regardless of the friend, whatever, only so many people can get on the field. And to have a team, you have to have all 1, 2, 3, 4th string. Everyone has to be competing and pushing.
Yeah.
Because at any given time, someone can get hurt. At any given moment, anything can happen. And that translates well into a business because you got to have 10 different salespeople.
Yeah.
I mean, one can't be out there getting all the business and the other 9 are just relying on you. What if he or she has a promotion? Yeah. She's now your boss. So now what? Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things but that's still if only seven people are doing it, then only 7 people should be playing.
That's right.
Bottom line.
Yeah. I mean,
not 15.
There's almost a blind faith to the process. Like, I have to do this even though
that's
I'm not even
too,
doing it.
And that's the beauty, because that's life.
Yes.
I mean, that's where the question comes in with parents who say, why is my kid not playing? What type of work ethic are you showing? What type of work ethic are you expecting?
Right.
I mean, if you...
Why can't you just say your kid's not very good?
And accept it. Maybe that is.
Or your kid's not very good.
Or you can just
I'm
say
sorry.
You're not leading... You don't live in excellence.
Like, you've seen the game. Your kid's just not very good. Let's become a little self-aware here.
Well, yeah, but like you said earlier, as a parent, you don't want to... You want the best for your kid. You don't want to see him fail. You don't want to see him fall.
But I also don't want to... I don't want to feed the idea that he's better than he is at something.
Yeah, but you don't want to take away from him that he can't be that.
You want him to still live the dream.
No, but I know what you're saying, Dre. But I don't want to be pumping him up.
I hear
saying
you,
he's
man.
The man.
I know. I mean,
when
that,
he's garbage.
That should be a conversation a parent and a child has. That's what a boss says.
My dad told me in high school. He said, "I'll never stand up and clap for you until you dunk a basketball in a game." That's what he told me. That was exactly what he told me.
Yeah.
He said, "I'll never stand up and clap for you until you dunk a ball in a game."
But that's the truth.
Yeah. He never did.
And that
golf clap me every once in a while.
that should be as harsh, but at the same, that's like letting your child. You got to cry and stand up.
Yeah,
right.
Son, daughter, you're not that good. I'm sorry.
Well, I think as a parent, you have to have the courage to tell your kid the truth. If your kid is not working, if he's not putting the most effort out there on his team, then you need to be able to let him know that. You can't fill him with false assumptions that he's doing this and he's doing that when he's really not doing it. I think that's where a lot of parents fail. They don't keep it real with them.
You know, it could also be because if I keep it real with you, that means I got to keep it real with myself.
Absolutely.
So if I tell you you're not good at this, you have to now, the parent has, or the again, the parent, the boss, the co-owner, whatever, they have to lead the example of what is the proper way.
Right.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Okay, parent, your child maybe isn't that good at a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe father and daughter, both of y'all get up at 6 a.m. and go for a jog.
Right.
Both of y'all go and shoot baskets. Both of y'all don't, then just don't rely. And now you're leading by example. Yeah. And really, if that's the case, now you're using sports as a tool for relationship building, yep, for your family, to create memories, to create joy. So, I mean, I think, and to me, that goes to Little John's top, his way he said the ball, you stand on the ball and you stand on the books. Now, by doing those things, that's your education. Now you're standing on the books. You're waking your daughter up, your son up, 6 a.m, we're going to go run.
Right.
Now you're building the books. You're building that. You're building those foundations. You're not just going out there and saying, okay, here's a ball. How come you can't make this shot?
Right.
And yeah. that's what parenthood should be. I'm not a parent yet. One day I will be soon.
Real soon.
But to me, I love how Tim, how you said you scab your knee.
Yeah.
You gotta sit there, pretend like you don't see it. I see you, but yeah, I don't see you. What you gonna do?
It's like I watched that. I was telling you guys, I watched that RG3 documentary on his comeback, and his dad was talking. And he said, "Dad," when he was a little kid, he said, "Dad, I want to be Michael Jordan. I want to be as good as Michael Jordan." And he was like, "Are you sure you want to? You know what's coming with this, right?" And he was like, "Yeah, I know what I got to do. I know I got to work." He was like, "Okay." So he made him shoot 120 straight left-hand layups around this court, and he said he went home and he just cried his eyes out. But he came back the next day and did it again. And he cried to his mom, and his mom said something, and his dad, and it was like, hey, you know what? If he wants to be the best, this is what we got to do.
Hmm.
Created adversity, created goals.
But he wanted to be the best. I got three quotes from.
Let's close on these quotes then.
Three of the guys who were here. Drew Nitel, one of the things he says, what you put in is what you get out. I mean, that's, and they're all kind of related. Little John said, you know, you got to do something every day to get better. You're either getting better or you're getting worse. That's how he lives his life. Mateen, one of the famous quotes he said was, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. I mean, they're all kind of related. And it's simple stuff, mm-hmm, but it makes sense. If you want to be the man, you want to be the best, you got to put it out there.
You want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
You got to beat the man.
Like Ric Flair used to say.
Woo. Man, what movie did I watch? Man, I watched this movie. I watched this movie, and there was a quote that the guy said, random, just because you shot Jesse James doesn't make you Jesse James.
Ah, man. Hey. That's a lot of quotes we got.
No, so.
I don't know.
So if any, download this.
And tweet us and tell us what movie that was if you get a chance.
Yeah. Facebook but
thanks,
a friend.
Thank you for. Thank
download
you.
It on to you.
Thank you for listening to the Spartan Dog Podcast. We'll be back with another episode real soon. Check us out on Facebook, iTunes, SpartanPodcast.com.
If they want to sign up for the symposium,
snap.msu.edu. Come to symposium.
Sundays, 6 o'clock.
6 to 7, 1 hour sessions for all the young athletes looking to get better out there.
Tweet this. Like this.
Yeah, Spartan Dog Podcast, we're out.
Okay,
go white.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
That was the Spartan Dogs, Todd Duckett, Andre Hudson, and Tim Bogracus, talking about lessons learned as Spartan athletes. To hear their conversation again, or to hear any of their other conversations, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. You know, we live in a time where people just don't join things anymore. So why are so many Spartans joining the MSU Alumni Association? Well, perhaps it's our world-class alumni enrichment team, constantly stretching Spartan minds and supercharging Spartan careers. Or perhaps it's our Spartan pipeline, which connects you to trusted friends wherever your adventures may take you. The MSU Alumni Association is dedicated to adding Spartan value to your Spartan life. Whatever it is that may be keeping you up at night, we can connect you with a fellow Spartan who can help. We truly live in a world where who you know is just as important as what you know. And joining the MSU Alumni Association can help you build the relationships you need for success on the job and in every corner of your Spartan life. That's why more and more Spartans are joining the MSU Alumni Association. Activate your membership right now at alumni.msu.edu.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, We're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
MSU Today is online at SpartanPodcast.com. Here's Russ White.
And here are Spartan Dogs Todd Duckett, Timbo Gracchus, and Andre Hudson.
Welcome to the Spartan Dog Podcast. Timbo Gracchus.
Todd Duckett.
Andre Hudson.
There's a topic going around sports right now that's pretty hot.
Hot.
It's hot.
Oof. It's hot in here.
The idea... that tight t-shirt you got in. The idea of... Johnny Manziel signing autographs. Did he get paid? Did he not get paid? He had to sit out the first half of the first game. Why? I don't know if the NCAA didn't find anything, but autographs. We've all been asked to sign something. I laugh because I don't really think I'm that cool to sign anything, but what do you think of this? What's going on with autographs? And we've all seen people who, you know, they're going to sell these things.
Yeah.
They're getting six or seven things signed.
Oh, yeah.
They show up at all the events.
Same picture.
What do you think?
I mean, I personally, I got two takes on it. One, I don't see the point of it. I guess it's to say that I met you, but here's a handshake. We can take a picture.
I don't think Bill Russell signs autographs.
Yeah, he does not.
Yeah.
But I really don't see the point of signing. I mean, I sign bill collectors, get my autograph all the time. I mean, so I don't see the point of that. But on the flip side of that, If someone's willing to ask you for your autograph from an athlete, so from anyone, role model, public figure standpoint, I think it's a privilege that they do ask you, because it means you're doing something right.
Yep.
It means that it means you're living positive, and that day may not last forever. Mm-hmm. So if someone is wanting your autograph or asking it, if it's a bazillion people, stay and sign it all. But I can't say I know I would want to wait in line to get it.
Yeah, I think it's more just celebrate. It's a kind of a celebrated act here, you know, that getting autographs is a cool thing. You know, I don't so much understand it myself, but I do agree with you from a athlete or some kind of star who gets approached. I mean, you have to be grateful and be thankful that somebody actually wants to be a part of you, be connected to you in some way. I mean, a lot of our success, you know, as athletes, as performers, is through, you know, the people, through the fans. And, you know, athletes get paid from fans buying tickets. Performers get...
Pro athletes get paid.
Come on. College is a little different thing, but...
This isn't the Get Indicted podcast.
Pro athletes here I'm speaking of, but... You know, and on a college level, I mean, it's you're getting exposure. You have fans. Yeah. You have people who support you, who come to the games. Maybe you're not getting paid, but they're coming to the games to support you and to lift you up as a player. And I think you have to respect that as a player.
You think Johnny Manziel took that money?
Whether he did or didn't, I don't know. I mean, I think the NCAA and I think Texas A&M had to take a stance, because there's been other situations like this before. I mean, if you look at Ohio State, they were signing autographs for tattoos or whatever, giving away memorabilia. And I think, you know, obviously the NCAA brought the hammer down on those guys, where they had a perfect season last year but wasn't able to compete for a championship. And, you know, some players were released because of it. So I think the stance of Texas A&M probably was the safe route. I don't know if it was correct or, you know, if it should have been done. Obviously Manziel didn't care.
If you think you should, as an athlete, you should be allowed to give your memorabilia away?
While you're still
yes. competing, though.
I
so, like,
say,
if I have – I mean, you know how it is. You get 17 T-shirts that say Michigan State football on them. You think you should be able to trade those?
I mean, trade or give away?
So, you – I mean, give away, yes. But, like trade a good for a good.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
But I would say the rules don't allow that.
That's the correct answer.
Yeah, I would say
yes. The rules don't allow it.
You can't do it.
And it's across the board. There's no exceptions to the rules. That's what it is. And it's been that way.
What do you think of the idea, and this just came into my head, of an age limit for autograph seekers?
Well, that was going to be my question. So now let's go back to the 11-year-old you, the 8-year-old you.
Because I had a book and autographs when I was 8 years
when
old.
When Tico was playing here.
Yeah.
And I would come up here for pro day or for college day or whatever that is with the autographs. Mm-hmm. Man.
Yeah.
I'm waiting in line. Yeah. I'm looking at people in awe. I got pennant shirts. Yeah. Signing my hat while I still got it on here. Little fella rubbing my head.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
And now is it because now we've experienced the taste of that and we like, this is stupid.
I have a book I got a book of autographs from Detroit Lions players.
Yeah.
I couldn't name a single one of those guys. But I know for a fact, when I got those autographs, it was the best day
best
of my
life.
Best
day of my life.
It was the best day of my life.
I think
Jason Hansen's in there. So that's a solid day.
Best day. And I guess that's a good question because as a kid, you love them.
I can remember the first autograph I got. I was at my grandmother's house, and about three houses down, there was some girl who lived there. She was dating this basketball player who went to Arizona State. I don't know the guy's name. I just happened to be playing in the neighborhood, and I saw him walking out of the house. He was 6'7". I was like 7 or something. So I ran up to him. You know, hey, you play basketball? Like, you know, questions we get asked all the time. He said, yeah, I go to college at Arizona State. And I was like, oh, man, I got his autograph. Haven't forgot it to this day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even know the guy's name, but it was a memory that stuck with me as a 6-7-year-old. And so because of that one instance, I'm always very grateful to get an autograph because I know – you know, as silly as this might seem, this kid might remember me for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
And that could be what it is. It's not necessarily about the signature piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's about the story. How'd it happen?
Yeah, the story.
I mean, how was he at the mall and asked for it?
Yeah.
Was he gracious to do it? Did he walk away from me? I mean, I think that might be the definition, or that might be what it's about.
It's about a memory. I mean, what stuck out to me is he hopped in a car, and I remember seeing his knees like up in the window.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Man, that guy
what
is
kind
so
of a car
tall.
Was he driving?
It was a small car.
He was a college.
Trust me,
student,
I've been
man.
In cars with my knees are sticking out the window. Window too, so I can understand them now.
Did you tell him one day you'd be taller than him?
I did not. I had no clue.
One day I'd be taller than you.
You're listening to Spartan Podcast. You can go listen to all these episodes on SpartanPodcast.com. You can download them on iTunes. Just search Spartan Podcast, all one word. Go to Facebook and like them. Like our page. Like us just personally because we like that. So like a superstar athlete.
Yeah.
So basically you, when you're in college.
Okay,
you're a superstar,
let's
be honest.
Good. Let's say it.
Do you think you should have been like superstars should be able to negotiate terms to sell their autograph?
Man, it's such a
or is it too slippery of a slope?
It's slippery of a slope, but at the same time, I was like 19. Who am I? I'm at the negotiating table saying, okay, well, NCAA. Like, you know, now do you need an agent? I mean, who's going to handle those matters?
True.
I mean, because as an 18, 19-year-old, now you're thinking, okay, what are my contracts going to be for this autograph? Well, I still got to go to class, coach.
Johnny Manziel, trademark Johnny Football.
Now this goes back to what we started talking about earlier.
But he can't sell it. He can't sell merchandise yet.
But this goes back to what we talked about earlier when we talked about selling your own
brand.
Yeah, but this the brand thing, yes. Not the Dre point of wearing your own jersey.
Oh. No, I didn't say wear your own jersey.
Yeah, your own jersey. You had the whole,
obviously, if you sign with the university, they're having a contract. Yeah. You have to abide by their laws.
But it does go back to the
if you can sell your own merchandise,
there's no reason why he can't sell his own merchandise.
I asked my wife about it because they had just done their NCAA testing, and she was like, he can't sell the merchandise himself yet.
Doesn't have to create a brand.
Well, it's created.
I mean, because by doing that, any player can do that. I mean, you Spartan Stadium, there's 75,000 people there who are looking for a quarterback to love.
Yes.
Whenever that guy comes out, he's going to have a whole session over there. Now, Johnny Football, whatever.
Yeah.
That is whether it's a memory, whether it's whatever. Here's a free shirt. Take it, love it, wear it, rock it everywhere.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
And you're listening to Spartan Dogs Todd Duckett, Timbo Gracchus, and Andre Hudson.
Does he miss out on the because he's basically got two more years in college, right?
Well, I'm gonna tell you this.
So is Johnny Football still profitable and prevalent in College Station in 4 years when he goes, if he's in the pros.
When Nike buys it and Nike becomes part of his sponsorship and has Johnny Football with a Nike swoosh under it.
Johnny Football knows.
Whatever. 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 Now you have Johnny Football with a Nike swoosh.
Yeah.
Man, it doesn't matter where you are.
Yeah, but I mean, to your point, Tim, I see what you're saying. He, in a way, yeah, for these next 2 years, he's missing out on income because this is money he could be bringing in now. Yeah, and it's a risk. You know, there's no guarantee 3 years down the line that he's going to be what he is today.
Okay, tell me this. As a business owner, would you give away discounted or free product?
Dre?
Well, I mean, I do a little bit of both, I guess. Well,
so look at it in that way. So
yeah, I mean, I do, and I understand the sense that he's building an audience. He's building a customer base, even though he's not getting paid now. He's building it up for 2 years, because, 3 years down the line. But you know,
but see, the thing is, right now, nobody in Michigan is probably wearing Johnny Football gear,
right?
But everyone in Texas A&M country is probably wearing it. I'm proudly
right
now. He goes and gets drafted by Pittsburgh Steelers, Steeler Nation.
Yeah,
that's like 100,000, 45 million, whatever that is.
So he's got that.
Now
he's
goes
got Steeler Nation.
He goes now. He's in Steeler Nation, and that's a whole other market who no one ever cared about.
Right.
Johnny Football. Now he goes with that brand.
Absolutely, and he again, still has the Texas A&M,
and he still has it.
Right.
And so now, I mean, that goes, and I don't know if you're working on marketing plan. I don't know, but right now you look at he has. I don't even know how. I'd say 100,000 people down there. Mm-hmm. In Texas A&M, 100,000 people
in the stadium.
No, just that he has more. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But he has 100,000 people who are looking at his product and getting it for free. Now he goes to the NFL, which is $9 billion business.
Right.
Then he goes to whatever pro team, and that's a whole place that doesn't even pay attention.
Right. Well, let me put this out there too. One thing I have learned in business, and I've been told by several people, is you don't want to discount your product. And in a way, Johnny Manziel is discounting his product
Truth.
Right now. So you think
Truth.
All you say you got 100,000 followers who are getting this stuff for free,
Truth.
All that loving them, blah, blah, blah. Now he leaves. Now the next Ryan Kelly comes into Texas A&M. Well, they've been getting Johnny Football stuff for free now, and he's a Steeler now.
Yeah.
Those 100,000 people might not want to pay it. You know, they've been getting this discount. He's been discount because of the NCAA. He's been forced to discount his product.
I don't think he's giving anything away.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's. I'm just saying, an example.
We got to talk under the rules here, Timbo. We got
to
pretend.
I like to talk in hypothetical settings
gotta
right now.
We pretend it's the right world.
We don't live in the rules. We live in a hypothetical radio bubble right now.
He's already a kind of a wealthy individual,
but,
so I don't think.
But
he's,
that doesn't. He's got the hand symbols.
Well,
and everything.
He was raised in a wealthy family.
Yeah, they
so
got.
He's already
I think
got
they got
money.
That old money.
Well,
and we're talking about him.
Yeah, well, yeah. We're giving free. Well, that's just because everybody else is talking.
But that's
my question.
Yeah.
Like my he's question. Not. That was my question. Was should he be able to sell his own likeness?
You know, I mean, do you take that idea and sit on it for 2 years?
He's gonna have to.
I think go for it. Go for it.
He can't.
But I mean,
it is though. In a way, he's marketing himself.
It is.
Right now.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. But he's not getting paid. I guess if it comes down to getting paid, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If it comes down to getting your brand out to the masses, that's another thing.
Well, I think his brand goes out regardless, just because every channel covers him. But
man, you got to think he won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah,
and he's done some amazing things.
So did Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow
has a brand. I mean, he has a following. The only difference because of that,
I don't think Tim Tebow won as a freshman.
No,
yeah, but
I mean, if Johnny Football won the Heisman, then gets drafted the following year, this isn't even a conversation.
No,
no. But at the same time,
it's interesting.
Johnny Football probably doesn't have the same
exactly
marketability that he has right now because he's starting over.
But
he's
like,
new. He's a fresh face right now.
Now he's in the pool. Now he's competing with Tom Brady's.
He's not getting a smart water campaign anytime soon.
So does that still make him a Johnny Football?
Well,
yeah. But now he goes in there in a year or two. And regardless of if he's playing Tom Brady or whoever, he's Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Tom Brady can't put that on his.
I think you mentioned Tim Tebow. I think he's a great example. Tim Tebow, in a way, almost did that. I mean, I think he built his brand enough in college where once he made it to the pros, he had a following already. Obviously, he's not the greatest pro quarterback, but he still has
a
tremendous.
He's going to be fine. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he's going to be fine.
Post career is going to be more profitable.
But he started it at Florida.
Yep.
I mean, the way he lived his life, he had
everything.
I don't know if he was giving away T-shirts or what, but his name was something big.
So does the past summer offseason that's with Johnny Manziel?
I was going to ask that question.
He's like the opposite Tebow in a term. Tebow's hanging out in orphanages,
right,
in Costa Rica, and Johnny Manziel's in Cabo.
Yeah,
I mean they're like the anti each other.
So is
it's the same.
But so that being said, though, is that why there is this big issue? Because we all knew Tim Tebow was going to be a success and do all this extra.
Right.
We knew that.
Right.
We know this guy is going to do the same thing. Yeah. But we didn't say that. We were kind of Tim Tebow sleeping under the rug. He's going to be cool.
But he
wasn't out there doing.
Are we wrong for getting mad at a 20-year-old kid who just won the Heisman for doing things that everybody else probably would have done too?
I'm not getting mad at him. Live your life.
Courtside at the finals. He's hanging out, but.
But okay, so even all that, everything that's happening,
he's got to play well.
He has to still perform.
Right.
I mean, and that goes to how kids are experiencing things a lot sooner than they would. I mean, next year or 5-10 years from now is, can a high school be Johnny Basketball? I mean, he's the best high school player ever to see the world ever. Can he sell his own merchandise? Yeah. Well, actually, he'll probably go pro.
You gotta go to college.
So that's going. I mean, it's gonna be pushed back to this.
To be honest, I'm not sure as a high school basketball player if you can do that because the NCAA has recruiting
and you're
violating recruiting. I mean, you see it all the time with AAU coaches or players getting in trouble for.
I couldn't sell just a generic.
I don't know.
Timbo's the man shirt.
Think about this though.
I'm
bringing this out of the sky. But say you're a kid who's always had a dream to be an entrepreneur and just build your brand as a 7 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you've created a business, and you're doing all right, and you become a superstar in high school, would you have to discontinue your brand for 3-4 years?
I think so, man. I mean, the top kid out of high school this year, he went to Kansas. I forget his name. He's from Canada. I think he had some issues with a AAU coach where he had to end up giving some money back.
Yeah, that's taking money. We're talking about like
creating a brand,
creating a company.
Because times are changing.
You're gonna be taking money
for yourself
for a product.
For product.
Like times are changing. It's no different than having a job, I guess. You just own the company
at
17.
If he would have created Simple Tea at simple-tea.org, when he was in high school in KZoo, could he have kept it during college?
And sold my own stuff.
The beard T-shirts?
I would say no, but I mean.
but you see what I'm – but I mean, that's the rules are kind of changing a little bit where people are starting to sell their own stuff.
People are trying to. They're creating a brand.
They're trying to.
Right.
And I guess it's having the space to do it.
Yeah. It's just where's the ceiling at? How far can you go?
That was a good topic, Tebow.
You know, I just try to hot button everything once in a while.
Hot button.
All right, listen to Spartan Dog Podcast. Download us on iTunes. Go check us out, SpartanPodcast.com. Go to Facebook, Spartan Dogs Podcast. Like everything we put up there. Like the page. Tweet TJ or I. Don't tweet.
I'm Todd at
Todd Duckett. Tweet me at Tebow Grakus. Tweet Dre Nowhere because he just doesn't get down like that.
Still working on that.
And September 28th, we are hosting our first Spartan Dog Symposium in collaboration with Snap Fitness. That's Snap with 2 P's. It's Athletic Excellence 24/7, teaching younger athletes how to reach higher. It's a one-day morning session. It'll include us, the Dr. Joes from SNAP, talking about nutrition and optimizing your performance as an athlete. We're going to have a panel of current MSU coaches to talk recruiting, how to separate yourself from the pack, how to get noticed, what they're looking for, and then we have Mr. Mateen Cleaves keynoting the end of it. So it's going to be an unbelievable day right here on campus in the Radiology Building. September 28th. Gentlemen.
John and Russ, appreciate y'all.
John and Russ, as always, the Whites and Whiting crew in there.
We got to get those guys more work back there. Maybe they can start clipping in some old conversations to throw in there. You know,
I don't know if we want to just give them like just carte blanche to clip stuff in there.
Maybe start putting some
maybe
some sounds
a theme song are there.
Yeah, something. Maybe I get those guys more work, man. Just sit back there and laugh the whole time.
All right, yeah. Spartan Podcast, we're out of here.
Go green.
Go white.
This is MSU Today with Russ White on AM 870 WKAR.
That was the Spartan Dogs, Todd Duckett, Andre Hudson, and Tim Bogracus talking about lessons learned as Spartan athletes. To hear their conversation again or to hear any of their other conversations, please visit SpartanPodcast.com.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman for the MSU Alumni Association. How many times have you been wearing your Spartan apparel in an airport and a voice in the crowd shouts, "Go green"? Well, that's happened to me in Beijing, Osaka, Kuala Lumpur, and Mumbai, and even in unlikely places like Ann Arbor and Columbus. There's a special bond we Spartans share, and that's at the foundation of everything we do at the MSU Alumni Association. As the world's largest organization of Spartans Helping Spartans, MSUAA truly is your personal network for life. From the moment you join, you've added thousands of fellow Spartans to your personal network. People who will pick up the phone and lend a hand just because you share Michigan State in common. That's the ethic that makes Spartans leaders, lifesavers, and world changers. And that's exactly what you'll find when you become an active member of the MSU Alumni Association. If you share this Spartan spirit, join us at alumni.msu.edu.
Doug Bueller leads MSU Ag Bio Research.
MSU Ag Bio Research is really located strategically within Michigan State University, and we concentrate on research in agriculture, natural resources, and energy.
MSU Ag Bio Research is changing the face of science.
Our mission really is wise use of the resources, both human and natural resources, and also to protect the productivity and profitability of our natural resource and agricultural systems.
More than 300 scientists from 6 MSU colleges are leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
Well, I think the most important thing we do is to continue to try to develop production systems that can put safe food on our plates, but also protect the environment and also a situation where the producers can make a good living and protect their resources at the same time.
MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.